Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Hi, Neil. Here we are today. Hello.
Hello.
Sorry, I didn't give you an opportunity to respond to my hello. We are here today to provide readings for our wonderful callers, as well as discuss manifesting spirit energy. And we've got several callers in the queue. Thanks for joining us. For those of you who are listening, haven't called in, our call-in number 914-338-0164. And just a few things before we get started. We always invite our callers and listeners to follow us on Blog Talk Radio, as well as on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked under Blog Talk Radio profile. I believe there's just one Facebook account linked. There are two, however, Neil Baker Psychic and Neil and Kristen Baker is the linked one. So Neil Baker Psychic can be found via the other, and we invite you to join us there again. God bless you, Neil. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for conversation that the radio show can't allow for. And we want to remind our callers to hold their place in the queue, because we will be getting to you shortly. However, we do talk for about 15 to 20 minutes. Okay, manifesting spirit energy is the topic du jour. It's the soup du jour.
Yes. I mean, what does it really mean? It's an active verb to manifest spiritual energy. Implies that you need some form of connection. You need some kind of relationship, connection, vibrational form in your mind that you could take and actually involve yourself with manifesting what is out there in the astral plane.
Right, and then manifesting in the physical reality, or, you know, in the astral realm, where you could communicate with them via your third eye or third ear, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, because manifesting spiritual energy is a really wonderful experience. It can happen spontaneously, where some of us have experienced some kind of encounter with the spirit world. I know you recently have had some exposure to that.
Yeah, I have had exposure to it. I'm not going to go into details about how it's manifesting, but it's been in a very clear, undeniable terms, and Neil can attest to it because you've witnessed it as well, correct? Mm-hmm. So I believe it started in about May, and it's been sporadic, but then, you know, until I would say a couple weeks ago, and there's been daily communication with the spirit form, which is a spirit form that's obviously from a higher realm. And it's really interesting, because it did occur spontaneously. I had no idea it was going to happen, but I can say that when you have dedication to spiritual energy, you will be rewarded. If you're going through the proper channels, training with the right people, obviously Neil and I are connected in such a way that this has manifested in my reality. And I believe it is, you know, a result of the hard work and dedication to spirit that I've had for the last several years that we've been together. So it's very exciting, and it's a great honor to be able to communicate with a spirit. It really is. It's astounding. It's amazing.
Yeah, there is a in terms of just the ordinary person, I mean, we all sort of, we inhabit an astral body. That is our body. For the most part, it stays within us. But lo and behold, at times it does float about. It floats above our immediate physical zone. And it kind of hovers over in the energy of...
It hovers. I'm impressed. Not hoovers. Well, just the normal.
And it kind of, it extends outwardly. So basically when we have spiritual manifestation and that spirit has it manifested in the physicality of our world as a form or as a sound or as a vision or even as an activation, because you can have an active spirit that actually produces energy in the physical realm.
Right, like as far as being able to see them, which is happening for me regularly as well, but to actually have communication is a different thing, I think, than seeing a spirit.
Yeah, I think that in the constant development of the third eye, one will ultimately experience, and the third ear for that matter, one will ultimately experience or can ultimately experience a direct connection, because you just have attuned yourself so conscientiously to that approach. A lot of us ordinary people, though, we encounter the spirit realm when we leave our body and we're floating about in the astral realm. It's usually in deep slumber, and we're impressed with the idea that we have an odd dream or a strange dream. People appear in our dream that we quite don't
recognize.
Or maybe they were examples of guides or angels or whatnot. But those are not just figments of our illusionary imagination. It's actually a report, a readout of our astral body reporting back to our physical body as to what it's encountering in the astral realm. And in that aspect of that energy, We not only do we have remarkable dreams, but we have remarkable experiences that go beyond the dream. We tend to think it's the dream world, but it's actually not the dream world. If anything, we're living in the dream world.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, this is temporary.
So if we're leaving our bodies in our sleeping hours and we're entering an astral realm, not just a psychological dream realm, we're actually entering the reality of existence, not, you know.
Yeah.
It's not the converse, or it is not.
And it's like
where real existence happens.
In our environment, we have different regions that have different kinds of inhabitants or animals. We have the oceans and its currents.
Deserts.
And deserts.
Mountains.
Well, the astral realm has its own current, if you will. It has its own regions. And there are sub-levels of those regions. So if you can encounter all kinds of energy forms on the lower planes, whereby you can even encounter the souls of individuals who have actually permanently left their body, and you can see those energies. We tend to refer to those as wanderers.
Last episode, I think we were talking about wanderers.
Yeah, and we can also have spirit wanderers. When a spirit decides to move into the physical realm, which is what our topic is about, manifestation of the spirit world into the physical world, it's either because they could be trapped, they could be just floating, and they're still, the intensity of their energy is still so vibrant that they haven't totally, in their astral realm, lost connection with the physical world. So they can still make an impression there, if you will.
Right, but not all spirits, and I believe the one that has been communicating with me and you, of course, this specific one, was not a human before. So there are spirits that were humans, and there are spirits that are not. This was not a human being
assuming that, you know, we are composed of body, mind, soul, and spirit in that ascending order. We do have a soul, and we do have a spirit. They're two distinct energies, and both can occupy the astral realm. And so we have those energies because originally we are composed of body. maybe originally we were composed of spirit.
You know, came first, the chicken or the egg? Yeah.
Which is another topic. But spiritual energies never had a body. They're not. There's no mass there. There's no molecular energy there. It's of a different quality. Well, not even quality. It's of a different substance. That it goes beyond anything regarding time, even space. And those energies that live or exist in that realm can actually descend down into our physical energies and talk to us. Now, maybe on a personal level, maybe they have something to tell us. Maybe there's a spontaneous, I like to call it a spontaneous connection that a spirit or a guide may want to talk specifically to a person and give them something or hang out with them, if you will, for a while. That can be of rare purpose. Rare purpose being that maybe the individual is involved in something intense.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're working on a book or they're on some kind of quest. And so they have these spiritual encounters. But sometimes when we die, every time we leave our body, we encounter
spirits,
some residual energy of the spiritual world.
So those energies can come back to visit us when we're in our earthly incarnation.
Yeah. And even though, you know, we have these marked departures from the body, it's almost like, I like to assume it's kind of like a bee leaving the hive and then collecting pollen. We collect a certain astral pollen when we go out there. We bring it back into our bodies. And that astral pollen is actually something that attracts now incoming spirits to our flowering energy. So we can actually attract and manifest, for that matter, spirit forms because we are of a certain energy field that attracts such forms. We're like a flower in a way. So it can be reversed to the extent. Now, the question is, why would a spirit want to contact a human?
Especially if they're not a spirit that was on the planet before, especially if they're one that was never of human substance. That's even more curious. You can understand why maybe someone who had been attached to the planet would get in touch with someone they were connected to on the planet.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, why? What need would a spirit or a higher form have in connecting to a human? Well, you can start off by saying, what need do we have to connect to lower animals? Why do we have dogs? Why do we have cats? Why do we go out exploring and examining the natural world? I think part of there's an energy of interest, and there's an energy when you get into the astral realm of kinship, of oneness. So the attraction that spirits have to human beings is actually the multi-layered energy fields that each and every human being occupies, because they've got, like we said before, a body, a soul, a spirit. And so if they're anticipating, maybe, perhaps in time, in physical time,
because there's no physical time for them. But.
Yeah, that individual is going to be entering the spirit realm. There's a way of being prepared. I prepare thee the way of the Lord, that type of thing. You know, it's a way of preparing the spirit to enter into another realm, given that spirit is now inhabited by a human body. So those things can manifest. And when they do, oftentimes a spirit will leave something, like a token.
Yeah.
They can leave a statement, a rare statement. They can leave objects.
Objects.
They can do all kinds of things. They're not into magic tricks, but they will sometimes, with human beings, leave something. And that becomes, I mean, even if it's knowledge.
Right.
But we're talking about less abstract things. You know, in the material world, in the physical world, energy can be left.
Mm-hmm.
So you may not recognize sometimes things. I mean, a feather left in your home may be a feather. Maybe there's an explanation for why it's there. But can a feather be the manifestation of something from another realm, and it's sitting in your home? who's to say? I mean, when you get into the astral realm, these things become part of the process of an experience.
Right.
For the most part, you know, like any typical ghost hunter, you want to check the thing out and make sure there's an explanation for it.
Right. And this is another note that caution has to be exercised when dealing with spirits. So if you don't have a teacher or a guide that's very experienced, you can get into dangerous situations and maybe manifest entities that are imposters and things like that. So you have to be very careful.
Well, you do, because, you know, a lot of these forms, I mean, these non-human forms and these energies that we define as demons or bad spirits or whatever, yeah, those things are out there. Not to mention that there are corridors in the astral realm that are not really conducive to good human health. So there is that energy field. There's voids and there's all kinds of things that are out there, which are sometimes frequented by people who do really heavy drugs, go into those realms. You can even lose your mind in those realms. But we're not talking about the darkness of the manifestation of the spirit world. We're talking about the lightness in this case.
Exactly. And perhaps we'll talk about this again on Friday, since there seems to be a lot of ground to cover, but we do want to get to our callers. So 509 is our first. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hi, good morning. How are you today?
We can't hear you at all. So.
Uh-oh. Can you hear?
It's very faint. Do you have a headset on?
No, I don't. I'm just using my phone. Can you hear
me? Oh, is this Erica? I recognize your voice. Hi, Erica. What's your birthday again? I know you're 29/11 too, but I don't have that birthday memorized.
December 4/93.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
December 4th, 1993. What's going on? Oh, you had a court case. is that what you're calling about?
Oh, my God, no. The attorneys are magic. They just get things done, and it was so easy. I stressed for nothing. Once I got that attorney, his advice was so helpful, and I got it done.
Great. That's great.
Yeah,
well, I'm sure
I know now.
The energy that was put behind it, too. So all physical and non-physical. So what's your question today?
Well, I'm looking at law schools already, because I graduate soon, and I'm thinking about starting up next fall. But I don't know. I was just wondering if you see me going, or if you see me getting accepted and attending law school, and like if it's going to be in state or out of state.
And are you in Washington?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think, Neil?
Well, you know, you, Erica, you're a compounded person. You're 29/11 too. That's your miracle energy.
22.
You're 22.
Yeah, you're
11 times
yeah,
two.
That's right.
11 times two.
What I mean to say, Erica, is before we get to your age, you are in numerical value of your birth date. You're a 29 equals 11 equals 2. Your master number is 2. Now, in the reduction of that number going upward, it goes 29, 11, 2. 11 times 2 is 22, which is the age you're at. And 22 is 22 is a 4 in numerical value. And 4 is the day you're born. So what I'm saying, first of all, is, for you to be asking this question about law school at this point in your life is, in fact, part of your karmic journey. So you're still theoretically in karma, but in your journey of karma, Erica, you are experiencing something that was already so-called written in your book. So in my
destiny.
Mind, what's that? Destiny?
Destiny, yeah.
You could use that. You could borrow that word, you know, in some vague way. You could use that. Destiny is a process. It's not a completion. In the word of destiny, the destiny is in the process of finding the source or the quest.
Right, because aren't there, there's many outcomes possible in a person's life. It's not just one set destiny necessarily.
No, it isn't.
It depends the path in which they take.
That's right.
The decisions they make.
See,
in that karmic period.
In the esoteric mystical code of your birthday, you're born on the 12th. Now, 1 and 2 is 3, right?
The 12th month.
Yeah, you're born on the 12th month. 1 and 2 is 3, and 3 happens to be your very last number of your year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then what we have left over, aside from the century, is a 9 and a 4, which is a 13 or a 4. So what I'm saying is that when you talk about a quest, it's like saying, I've got to take my month, 1 and 2, put it together and actualize that 3 at the end of my birthday year. So when you say it's kind of a destiny, yes. But it's a destiny wanting a completion. So you'd have to go through this schooling, get through whatever it is. You know, you don't drop out. You stay steadfast. You get good grades. You keep your head to the books. And you complete, you know, you pass the bar, whatever it is. Now, you're 22. What I'm saying is that this is the age you're supposed to be at. So you're in alignment with your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually doing this at a time where your life is supposed to be activated at this point. And you might have, I don't know, you could have 6 years to go. I'm not sure at this point. Have you calculated how long it might take? 3 years?
3 years. Yeah.
3 years? And when did you start the process? How many years ago? But how long have you been in college?
Since high school, since 2012, fall of 2012. I graduated high school and then went straight to college. And then I'm at the university now.
Yeah. So probably the 3 years left to go, which is pertinent to what we were saying, 6 years since graduation of high school, more or less.
You mean when?
Since she graduated and started college.
It's been 4 years. It's 2012, so it's 2016, and then...
Well, 6 to 7 years.
Yeah, which is actually in her 12, 4, 7.
Yeah.
4, 5,
so,
6, 7.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, are we answering your question? I mean, we're giving you a background as to the importance and the legitimacy of what you're going through. So I think your question was, am I going to get in or am I going to? Yes, you're going to get in.
Yeah, she
was asking about out-of-state or in-state, and then we have to move on to another caller.
Yeah, what's your grade point average real quick?
It's like a 3.0. It's just average.
Get it higher. That's mediocre.
Yeah.
Come on. You got to get it higher. But that's nonsense.
Because it's going to be challenging. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, in law school, it's definitely going to be more intense than I think, you know, general education.
And that's kind of why I wanted like the insight, just because I know it's really hard for even the attorneys that I've met, and so it's kind of discouraging. Like, am I going to be able to pull it off, you know?
Oh, well, now you're talking nonsense, bigger nonsense. Of course you can pull it off. your doubt is not something you want to put into your fuel tank. That's just stupid.
Yeah.
Don't even go there. Of course you will do it. You need to apply yourself. I don't know what kind of psychological barrier you have getting good grades or thinking you can't make it or that other attorneys, you know, they find it tough. It doesn't matter.
And, Erica, like, are your grades higher in your field? You're a criminal justice major, right? Am I remembering correctly?
Yeah.
And what are your grades? You're done with your, like...
Associates. I'm getting my bachelor's right now.
Right. So you're doing all your coursework for your major. You're not doing any like basic courses. So it is 3.0. Well, you know, before we move on, what do you think about her staying in state? Probably staying in state.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to get into a college with 3.0.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Graduate where you're, you know, even if you can get down a month, you got to get your grades up.
She only has a year left.
Erica, get those grades up. And just work harder. And don't sit there trying to examine how you can't do it or how hard it's going to be. Just don't even examine that. You don't have time. Use your energy to examine how high you can go. and just keep looking up. Don't look down. You don't, you know, you climb a mountain, mm-hmm. you look up, you don't look down. So you keep going higher in that regards. I would say to stay in state right now and apply yourself, get those grade points higher, and, mm-hmm. You know, do extra papers. I don't know, do something to get the pay higher. And mm-hmm. and I'm going to be fine, but that's where we are right now.
Okay, Erica.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck.
It was really cool how he came up with all those numbers, like, you know, making them resonate. It was really cool. I never really thought of those numbers like that.
Okay, but Erica, well. Yeah, they certainly do. Okay, thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. 770, I believe this is Maddie.
Hi, Kristen. Hi, Neil.
Hi, Maddie. Hi. Let me give you 1745. It's her birthday. She's a 27-9. What's going on?
I have a financial problem.
I know.
I owe a creditor, and of course they turn it over to the collector agency. Now the collector agency threatened to sue me and freeze my accounts and all of that stuff. But anyway, I negotiated with the collector agency, which is a law firm, and I was trying to debate whether I should pay it all off. The amount was only $3,600 that I owe, but they brought it down to $2,500. And I was trying to debate whether I should pay it in lump sums, so much per month, lower the rate with so much per month and pay the full amount, or go ahead and pay the lump sum, $2,500, and get it out of my way.
So the question is, make payments, would that increase the payments, I mean the total debt, if you have to make payments because there's interest
or
something?
That would, if I make installment plans payment, I would pay the full amount. But if I go ahead and pay it in one lump sum, I would save $1,100.
Oh, I see. So it's like $3,600 versus
$2,500? Yeah.
So exactly.
What kind of debt is this?
Yeah. It's a credit card debt.
It's a credit card debt. All righty. Well, I mean, shoot.
Well, Maddie, in my shoes, it's easy. Pay it all off.
Pay it, like, immediately,
right now,
25.
You're saving $1,100. That's not a vast amount of money. Maybe to some people it is. I'm not saying that it's not a vast amount. It's relative to what you have in the bank or what you have. If you're able to pay it off, I would pay it off. You're saving $1,100 and you're getting it out of the way, and it's good to be debt-free. Credit card debt to me is a kind of a foolish way of spending money.
I'm learning that.
Yeah, you know, people get the, I don't have credit cards. But people get that credit card and they just think, oh, wow. And then they're racked with all these payments, and then they get interest, and then they have problems like this. Well, you know, it's much better for you to remove your debt now. And if you're able to pay for it now, I don't see that that's really going to harm you in the long run. It's probably going to not only save you money, but you're going to feel better. You've learned something. And that money, you know, the universe will probably replenish you before you know it.
Thank
so,
you.
That's what I would do. Okay?
Thank you. That's what I was leaning toward, but I was like, had a little doubt, you know, but you know how you go, indecisive, going back and forth. So thank you, Neil. Thank you, Kristen. That has helped me a lot. That's exactly
what
I go ahead and do, and get that monkey off my back.
Yeah, for sure. And you saved that $1,100,
yes.
Which is all good. Hey, Maddie,
yes.
Keep in touch.
Like Neil said, it's not an
accident.
Honey?
What were you going to say? Sorry, I cut you off.
I said, like Neil said, it's not a hell of a whole lot of money, but it is money.
$1,100, I mean, that's like, you know, it's not $100,000, but still a considerable saving.
$2,500 is what
she saved, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So $1,100 to save is actually almost half of what she owes. So, I mean, it's a considerable savings. Plus that 25 is 7. It's her fire number.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
that's what I thought
Maddie.
About that 7. Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, wow.
Take care.
Thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Ah, okay. 805 is our next, and 303 is either listening or they forgot to press 1 on their phone. 303, if you'd like to speak with us, please press 1. 303, please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. Oh, they do want to speak with us. So you're next after 805, 303. 805, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, fine, thanks. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there.
is this Cheryl?
Anyways, I'm calling Ventura. Yeah, this is Cheryl. My birthday is 7/7/66.
I remember last time we were talking about, you were thinking of relocating from.
Well, yeah, and I can't move. It's like, I feel like I can't move, but I'm really having a hard time making decisions, and I'm, you know, worried about this economy, a lot of stuff coming, and I just can't make decisions like I used to be able to for some reason.
Hmm. So, do you want to talk specifically about moving, or is there another question that you had about
maybe
being a disciple?
You know, well, actually, mine's like investing, like, you know, stay in real estate, move into silver. You know, mine's more like trying to preserve what I have. You know,
okay,
yeah.
So you're thinking about making investments, possibly. Hmm.
Well, first of all, do you have an immediate need to move?
Okay.
You have an immediate need to move? Did you?
No,
say?
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't.
Now, did you have another property? Wasn't that the last topic?
Yeah, I have actually a house up near Arizona, near Sedona, so it's kind of like a backup house. I'm not renting it out. I just feel like, you know, I may need to go there. I don't know. So I'm leaving it, you know, like furnished and just kind of go back and forth there once in a while when I can. It's really hard to get away and I'm really limited. My son's been causing a lot of issues. I think that's the biggest part of my life right now is I feel kind of trapped, you know, and he's a young adult and it's really affecting me making decisions.
Can we get his birth date, Cheryl?
He's August 21, 95.
Okay. So he's 21?
No.
Yeah, August 21, 95.
Right. He's 21 years old, though, right? He's turning 21.
Like in a week or 10 days.
In a week, which is, you know, his birth. That's funny. It's his day. 21 is his day. 9, 10, 11, 21.
You know, you could be a little bit in a quagmire regarding that you're not to move yet because some things aren't cleared up. So you said that what are you into, real estate? Are you a real estate agent?
Yeah, I mean, I have rentals, so I'm not like, I don't do it for a business, but I just gave one of my tenants of 6 years, like a 60-day notice to sell because I'm, you know, I think the market's going to be turning. So, I mean, there's just a lot going on. And, you know, that I live off my rents, for my rentals.
Yeah. Are you basically secure where you're staying? Is there some, you know, attitude of security? Do you have to move? Are you basically okay?
No, I don't have to. I mean, this house is even paid off, so I don't have. Yeah, I don't have to go.
No, there's something there. I don't. You know, if you're saying should I leave, or I've got this problem, and I don't know what to do with it. I want to go, but it's something's holding me back. To me, I would have you confront me with an issue. Well, are you supposed to leave or are you not supposed to leave? Right now, the best intuitive advice I can give you is you're not supposed, you know, there's no need to leave. I'm not getting anything deeper in the text of your life that says, oh no, Cheryl, you got to leave, you got to go. You know, there's something waiting for you. Your life will change. No, I'm not getting anything like that right now. On the contrary, I'm getting that there's something compelling you to stay right now. Now, you may have a feeling of wanting to leave, but that could get it mixed up in other attitudes you have about life that are going to be ultimately part of your experience. But I don't think you're something telling me you're not ready to leave yet. And there's something, I don't know, is on in any of your properties, is there anything wrong with the base property, like the land? Is there any issues regarding land, or is there any complications in the earth or in the foundation of any property?
Not that I know of.
Have you ever had those experiences with any of your properties?
No, not that I can recall.
The only, you know, the thing that I'm getting, Cheryl, I don't know, there's some, so you, are you living in a house right now as opposed to a apartment?
Yeah, it's a house. I mean, I'm getting ready to put like 5 pieces of land I have up for sale. Not that I think it's a good time to sell them because.
Oh, that's probably.
Yeah, I live in a house.
Okay, you live in a house and you're ready to getting ready to put up 5 pieces of land for sale. So my vibration is going to those 5 pieces of land to sell. No, in short, you are not supposed to leave.
I think that's what you told her last time.
Yeah, you're not supposed to leave. Yeah. No. But you see, Cheryl, the depth of and the content of what brings that answer to clearer focus is the radio show's too short. You can't get in there. I don't have time. But you're not supposed to leave. And so the answer would be, you know, well, why? If you're of interest, why? That I can't answer. But you're not supposed to leave yet. That I can give you for the radio.
Go ahead. And then
I want to ask you one thing. Have you ever been or do you have any interest at all in Ireland?
No, but I was actually told by actually a medium friend of mine that that's where she's going to be going to because the U.S. is not going to be, you know, as stable. And she says she's going
medium,
to Ireland. That's,
she's okay, moving to Ireland.
So a medium friend of yours is moving to Ireland.
Okay, so that's
so
what
I'm
is.
Picking up on just that vibration of that experience you had with her. Now, what that does for me is I take that in because of your validation. Well, yeah, okay, I had a medium friend that's going moving to Ireland. So I'm getting that. So for some reason, I'm reading you. Where that's going, I don't know, because we don't have time. But I'm reading energies about you, in this case, that have to do with psychic stuff.
Okay, and quickly, before we move on to our next caller, she had, this question was, what should I be investing in? She was, you know, throwing out silver, should I move? Is there any investment advice that we can give
her?
Well,
I don't want to do that over
the radio.
The radio.
Yeah, you know what? Do you guys offer, like, where I could talk to you one-on-one, like, you know, paid service, that kind of thing?
You can call the number that I give out, 562-596-7818. That's on Facebook as well as on Blog Talk Radio. So you can call that number after and discuss.
Yeah, I'd love to do a one-on-one and, you know,
yeah,
get a little
it's
bit.
Probably
okay,
the best idea. Okay, yeah, do that, Cheryl, and perhaps you can delve into the investment topic.
Yeah, perfect.
And that. Okay, thanks, Cheryl, very much.
Thanks. It up right now. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. 303 is our next. Hi there.
Hello. Hi. This is Allison. It's been a long time since I've spoken with you.
Oh, Allison. Hi, Allison.
Hi.
39-4 and you're born in March, but 3-something. Right? Am I right?
No. Yes. March 15, 1957.
She's a 31-4. How are you?
I'm very stressed. That's actually the reason that I'm calling. And coincidentally, I also have a moving question. I don't have a home. I have a rental. I live in a rental, little rental. And I have an argument with my landlord, and she is not renewing my lease, which is up in the end of this month. And so I'm in. I really regret the argument, and I appealed, and she said no. And so this move is really not desired, and feel very, very bad about it. But it is what it is. And so I am really challenged because of availability in my area. And
you're in, are you in Arizona?
Yes, and affordability both.
Our former caller owns property in Arizona, so that's coincidental. Everybody groups together.
Yeah. She's in a different part of Arizona than I am.
Right, but still, it's tribal, tribal energy
it
of, the,
is, yeah.
of the show. So what specifically...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I wanted to see what... Yeah, I just wanted to see what maybe was picked up or something about this whole transition that I can't say I really am embracing, but it has to be done. And under the challenges, and especially because I also financially am really strapped right now, so I don't have a lot of options. And
right.
I'm just really going, kind of help. What do I do? Where do I go?
Where do you go?
Work
so
out?
When does your lease expire with the landlord?
This month, the 31st.
The 31st.
And I have no clue where I'm going right now. I mean, I'm staying local, but there's nothing right now that I is even on the, you know.
Shoot. Well.
So the lease expires.
Yeah, she's out.
31st.
She's out of a home on the 31st.
And she's out of a home.
Yeah.
And she's
out of a home.
Limited resources. What kind of work are you doing?
I only work part-time, looking for a second part-time job. I work in a radio station.
Oh, okay. That's something we didn't know about.
Yeah.
Well, and you were renting in a home or an apartment?
Well, actually, it's just a small one-bedroom mobile home rental.
Mobile home. And your lease is up and you can't afford to stay there, huh?
No, she won't let me stay here. It's not afford to. She won't let me. The landlord has not renewed the lease as a result of an argument we had.
Okay, you have an argument.
Is there any way to, smooth that over?
Oh,
sorry.
I appealed. I already appealed, and she said no.
Okay.
I apologize. Right. She said no. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to get something real clear up before I answer your question in another way. In your background, with your family background, was there any alcohol problems in your family background?
I don't know if it was beyond my, prior to my parents, I don't know about that. With my own parents, I would not say that was a strong issue with either of them, no.
And any spouses, any friends, anybody around you that had a drinking problem?
No. Strangely enough, I did not grow up with that, which if you looked at the way I live my life, you would think I did, but no. my mother did have issues that were kind of like that, but they were not related to alcohol specifically.
Okay. Well, that's probably good news. So what I'm seeing is that about 3 miles from your current location, I see a place where you're living.
Okay.
So it's about 3 miles away. Are you familiar with a 3 mile radius?
It goes into very different kinds of housing, I would say. And I'm just mapping it in my mind right now. If I go 3 miles one direction, it gets incredibly expensive. Another 3 miles another direction, it's very high-end homes, like ridiculously high-end homes. Very different environments depending on which direction the 3 miles
you go. Okay, so the word was within the 3 mile. Is there anything close by that would accommodate what you could afford within a 3 mile radius?
They're not at this point. As I mentioned, availability right now is just scarce. There's just scarce availability.
Are you on any kind of wait? Correct. Are you on any kind of waiting list?
I'm not on any kind. In fact, I've only, out of my entire search, and I've been very diligent, I've only seen two places, and they were both roommate shares, which is not what I want to be doing, but it looks like my finances are going to force me to go that direction again.
Well, can you afford, I hate to talk about money on the air, it's a private thing, but can you afford a $500 to $600 a month rental or am I way off? I'm not sure what Arizona works with, but where am I in terms of your affordability?
That would be considered a very bottom line, and that's what I pay now is all I can afford. That would be the bottom of the pile in my area. And they go fast when they become available. So you got to
Understand. I understand. So I'm trying to help you on this journey. So is that something you could afford, you're saying?
I'm sorry?
Is that something you could afford, Allison?
Yes, it is.
And is that about the tops of what you could afford, or is that in the middle, or what?
That is the top.
The top. Okay. So now we've got a little bit better connection, because I'm seeing you're going to find a place between $500 to $600.
Okay.
If I were you, I would start researching that 3-mile radius. Just be diligent. You might, somebody doesn't take it, somebody dropped out, you're there at the right time. That kind of zone is still open to us. You have roughly 3 weeks before the 31st, and we're going to try to see what we can do to bring this in within 7 days. But I would say that in addition to looking in every corner that you can afford, be specific about that 3-mile radius. Start looking around. You said there are places, but they get scooped up real fast. There's no availability. But my thought is that you might get lucky. We might be able to get you into the crack of an energy. Question, have you ever hurt, sprained, broke an arm?
I have never done that, surprisingly, because I was quite the tomboy.
You were quite the tomboy. And anybody around you had a broken arm? Anybody? Do you have any siblings or anything?
No. The closest, no sibling did either. At one time when I was a youngster, my father broke his collarbone and thus had his arm in a sling, but that was from a motorcycle spill. And that's as close to anything resembling a broken arm.
I said sprains, whatever.
Right.
The arm in the sling is what I'm saying. Has your father crossed?
Yes, he has. In fact, his anniversary is in a matter of days.
Okay, exactly. So, in a vague dialogue, this is very vague and not well-structured, but there's some vibrational connection I'm feeling with your father, because I can only share with you that the image of a person with their arm in a sling came to me. Now, I'm assuming that could be the formation of your father trying to lend something to this ordeal you're in, helping you. It doesn't matter what your history was with your father, whether it was good, whether it was bad, whether it was neutral, that doesn't matter. All I'm saying is that there seems to be something vibrating around me that comes from an image that your father had on this planet. And so that might bring us closer to you finding this place within a couple of weeks, if not sooner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I want you to start looking into those areas. And, this is how we have to start this, because it's a radio show with very limited time.
Right. Are you suggesting I just drive around? Because I have...
You have what?
Problem. Is that what you mean? Drive and...
Well, driving around, knocking on the door, yes. You have to, this is a foot journey. This is a journey of you're grounded already because you live someplace. So you're not just some wandering person walking the streets. So, trying to see if there's anything there, maybe going online, anything that might be the first place to go.
I do a lot of driving around, just kind of hoping I might stumble on rent signs. I live on Craigslist. I am on there probably 60 times, well, maybe not 60, at least probably three times an hour, just to see if a new ad has appeared. So I'm really, because I'm very, very good at that. I'm very thorough and I'm very skill that.
Yeah, I see, Allison, you're worried, you're diligent, you're paying attention. I don't, you know, maybe sometimes in these little readings, we stir things up. Maybe something will shift.
Yeah, I mean, something shifted for Erica. She was facing serious consequences for that. Driving without a license, she was hit by someone else.
Uh-huh.
And as she said, it turned around. So that happens frequently with our callers, Allison. And
right.
She's been a listener. Allison's been calling our show since the beginning. So she knows.
Yeah,
Allison. No, let's see if we can create a little magic here. And, I think on your part, if you start looking at those, doing what you've been doing, but let's look at it with a new perspective on in the element of psychic guidance. I don't know, maybe your father, you know, I don't know. Let's just give it a try.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah. Follow up with us and let us know.
I'll let you know what happens. I'll know very fast.
Please do. Good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you both. Have a
You're welcome,
blessed day. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Okay. Oh, well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the desire is you want to help everybody, and maybe there's a psychic link to doing that on these radio shows. So we'll just see what happens.
We'll see what happens. And so the advice, just to reiterate, and do what she's been doing on Craigslist, but also make a physically go in the areas where there are homes, look for rentals, maybe approach people.
Yeah. And
bulletin boards too, sometimes coffee shops.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. But sometimes because of the activation, and I don't know, you know, the father crossed over, he had the father in there. There could be something connecting to change things a little bit.
I hope so, yeah.
So, you know, we
that
love
often
to
happens.
Think that souls and spirits that have crossed over can lend some activity to us. So, It's worth a try.
I think we've been dealing with people's first chakras today. a lot of home finance and location, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, well, we're about out of time. So I think we will be back. Well, I know we will be back. I know we will be back on Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Hope you join us then. Bye.